Dhritarashtra Vacha, Dharma Kshetra Kuru Kshetra Samaveta Yutsavaha, Mamaka Pandavas Chaiva Kim Akurvata Sanjaya. Dhritarashtra said, O Sanjaya, after my sons and the sons of Pandu assembled in the place of pilgrimage at Kurukshetra, desiring to fight, what did they do? Purport, Bhagavad Gita is the widely read theistic science summarized in the Gita Mahatmya. There it says that one should read Bhagavad Gita very scrutinizingly with the help of a person who is a devotee of Sri Krishna and try to understand it without personally motivated interpretations. The example of clear understanding is there in the Bhagavad Gita itself, in the way that the teaching is understood by Arjuna, who heard the Gita directly from the Lord. Someone is fortunate enough to understand Bhagavad Gita in that line of the cyclic succession without motivated interpretation, then he surpasses all studies of Vedic wisdom and all scriptures of the world. One will find in the Bhagavad Gita all that is contained in the other scriptures, but the reader will also find things which are not to be found elsewhere. That is the specific standard of the Gita. It is the perfect theistic science because it is directly spoken by the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So, Dharma Kshetra, Kuru Kshetra, this is a significance. We know that Krishna had become the chariot driver of Arjuna. He is known as Parthasarathi. I will not fight in the battle, but I will drive your chariot, he told Arjuna. And we know that that he told Duryodhana, and he told Duryodhana when Duryodhana came to Dwarka one time, and also Arjuna came to Dwarka, and to both seek Krishna's assistance. And Arjuna, actually Duryodhana, he arrived first, and he was told by the servant that Krishna is now resting, please you just wait there. And then Arjuna came, and then Krishna, someone's chanting there around somewhere. So Arjuna came and he was waiting also. So when Krishna woke up, he saw Arjuna first, he saw Duryodhana. And then he said, Arjuna, oh, I'm very happy to see you. What is it that I can do for you? But Duryodhana said, Krishna, I was here first, so you have to ask me first. And Krishna said, yes, you came, may have come first, but when I woke, I saw Arjuna first. So I have to ask Arjuna. But I have to say one thing. If you both come to ask my help in the battle at Kurukshetra, then I will not fight. But my army will fight. So you have to choose. You can take my army or you can take me. So I'll ask Arjuna first, because I saw him first. So Arjuna said, oh, Krishna, I am your devotee and you are my friend, and if you are just with me, then I will feel be very happy. So I choose you. And Duryodhana, he was very happy. He was very, very happy. He said, oh, we're here. Arjuna, he is a fool. He chose Krishna, but he won't even fight. And I have got the army, so many thousands and millions, and they will fight on my side. So this was the situation when Krishna came. He said, I will drive your chariot, I will not fight. So now he's instructing, actually this verse, the first verse of Bhagavad Gita, this was the question of Dhritarashtra. Now Dhritarashtra was not fighting, he was blind, and Sanjaya was his secretary, so he asked, what did my sons and the sons of Pandu do when everyone was assembled? They are there at Kurukshetra. What is happening? They all assemble there, and now going back to Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra, this place is a holy place. Still, you can go there to India and visit Kurukshetra. It is a holy place from time immemorial. And Kurukshetra, the kings of the Kurus, being in Delhi, not so far to go to Kurukshetra, so they would regularly go to this Kurukshetra, as it's called, the Kurukshetra. So Dharmakshetra. And Dhritarashtra was, you know, he was a bit concerned because fighting on the Kurukshetra, there was a holy place, and that would favour the Pandavas, Yudhishthira, because they were very righteous, religious, whereas his sons were not like that. So he thought that this was not very good for his sons. But Prabhupada says here now, this instruction of Krishna to Arjuna is very widely read, the Bhagavad Gita, and is theistic science. It is about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one should read it very, Prabhupada mentions here, very scrutinizingly. One should try to study it and try to understand the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita. And the way you should study it is that you should try to learn Bhagavad Gita from a devotee, because the devotee hasn't got any personal motivation for hearing the Bhagavad Gita or reciting it to someone else. And the devotee just hears from Krishna and just repeats what Krishna is saying. And Prabhupada explains here that it's best to hear it in that way, because then you get the proper meaning. And it's a very important work, because it's the essence of the instructions. It is one of the sections of Mahabharata. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all the Vedic instructions are contained herein. So it's best to hear without any personal feeling in regard to what is being spoken. And it's just like, for example, if you're listening to someone and you've got some, perhaps you're hearing what they're saying, but you've got some grievance against them, or you're jealous of them. So you hear, but then when you repeat what that person said, maybe you'll twist it, maybe you'll say something else, or maybe you'll use it in another way that it wasn't intended to be used, because you have some feeling, you have some motivation. So to hear from such a person, you're not getting the proper understanding of what was originally spoken. So therefore, a Prabhupada advises here that one should hear the Gita from a devotee, because he is not jealous of Krishna, not trying to just make some money out of what he is hearing or anything like that. So then you get the proper explanation. And Krishna describes in Gita Mahatmya that that Bhagavad Gita, the first five chapters, that is like my five heads, and the next 10 chapters, that is like my 10 arms, and the 16th chapter, that is like my stomach. And the last two chapters of Bhagavad Gita, they are like my lotus feet. So in this way, you can think of me when you read Bhagavad Gita, when you read the first five chapters and the next 10 chapters, and so on. So you can see Krishna, you can think of Krishna, and you will be benefited. So it is said actually in the Gita Mahatmya that anyone who reads Bhagavad Gita, whether it's just one shloka, or half a shloka, or a quarter of a shloka, or even one word, they will be liberated just by such a small amount of hearing of Bhagavad Gita. And there's one story actually that Lord Shiva was telling the story to Parvati, his wife, and it was in regard to one time when Lord Vishnu, he was lying on the ocean of milk, lying on the ocean of milk, and he was resting. And Lakshmi, his wife, she said that, you are lying, resting. You seem, you know, this is not a very happy place in this world. You're lying here. And the Lord said, I was not resting, but I was just thinking how all my energies are working. This world, how everything is moving, and how the living entities are in this world. But I have given, actually, how to become disentangled from the world and become liberated. Become spiritually liberated and self-realized. And that is in the form of my instruction in Bhagavad Gita, he said. And Lord Vishnu told one story. He said, I will tell one story that one time there was a brahmana, his name was Sushama. And this Sushama, he was not very good brahmana. He was very mean, and he would always try to hurt other people. He was not very religious, and he would be very fond of getting drunk and eating flesh. Not only that, he would cheat people. Actually, he wasn't very. He didn't have much money, but he made money by just gathering some leaves in the forest. Different types of leaves, and going to the market and selling the leaves in the market. And with that money, he would spend on drinking and running after many women and eating flesh. And he was very mean to people. So when he went one time, he went to the market. He went to nearby the market, there was one forest. He went to gather up some leaves, and when he went to gather up, one snake came out and bit him. Poisonous snake. Bit him on the arm. And from that bite, he died. And in the next life, of course, he had to go to the Yamaraj, and he was punished for his very sinful activities. And the next life, he had to come back as a bull. So he came back as a bull, and he was owned by one crippled man. And the crippled man used to have the cart, and he used to get the bull to pull the cart with all the heavy things on the cart, and all day. And he used to whip him all day, working, and pulling great loads. One day, this man loaded up the cart so much, with such a heavy load. He was whipping the bull. The bull was struggling to just walk. But it was such a struggle, he was overcome. And he lay down unconscious. He collapsed, unconscious on the road. So then he was just shaking like this. So the many village people were there, they saw, and they were very sorry for the bull. And they gathered round one man. He said, oh, this poor bull, look at him. He is unconscious. And if I have any pious credits, if I have any good reactions coming to me, I want to give to this bull so that maybe he will be helped. And then other people came and did the same thing. They saw that man and said, if I have any pious credits, and I want to give to for the benefit of the bull. And then one prostitute who was nearby, she came. She said, I don't know if I have any credits, but if I have any credits, I want to give to the bull also. So that bull, he died from the heart attack. And then that soul had to go to Yamaraj. But when that soul went to Yamaraj, Yamaraj said, oh, you are freed from your sinful reactions because of the credits of that prostitute. So that Sushama, who was the soul, he was very amazed. And in the next life, he came back in a big, high, very high Brahmin family. Very well-to-do, very high. But he could remember everything. He could remember his life formerly, and he could remember his life as the bull. He could remember everything, and he knew everything, however. So he went to, he wanted to search out that prostitute and just thank her. So he went looking, and he found her. And he told her everything, and he said, how is it that you have got so much credit that I was spared from any suffering. She said, I don't know, but I think maybe because I have one parrot, and the parrot recites first chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. And I listen to it. That's a very wondrous thing. So they both went to see the parrot, and the parrot was reciting the Bhagavad Gita. And then Sushama, he asked the parrot, how do you know Bhagavad Gita? The parrot started talking, yes, actually, in my former life I was Brahman, but I was also very sinful. I was also hurting other people, cruel, stealing, so many things. I had to come back as a parrot. But when I was just a baby parrot, my parents died. I mean, that was also due to my sinful activities, and my parents died. Luckily for me, some sages, they found me in the forest. They took me home, and they put me in one cage, and looked after me and fed me and everything like that. And then every day the children would recite first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So I would listen every day to the children reciting the Bhagavad Gita. So this is how I learned Bhagavad Gita. So Sushama, everyone was very amazed. That is so each one of them individually, they would, for the rest of their life, they chanted Bhagavad Gita. The parrot, prostitute, Sushama went home. At the end of their life, they went back home, back to Goda, to Vaikuntha. So Lord Vishnu, he was saying to his Lakshmi, said, just see the result of hearing Bhagavad Gita. That see Sushama, he was liberated from his sinful reactions just by hearing it. And he said, if you just hear one verse, half a verse, one line of one verse, even one word, so much benefit will be there. So, but as I said, Prabhupada says, try to hear from someone who presents purely, and someone who presents just as Krishna intended you to hear it. This is very, very important. So, when Arjuna was hearing all the different subjects of Bhagavad Gita, of course, Krishna described so many different subjects. He told about this material world. He told about every one of us as Jivatma. And he told about Kala, the time, and the movements of we see Prakriti, we already said. All these different subjects. He talked about yoga, the karma, all these things. He talked about what is the Brahman, and he talked about what is Paramatma. He talked about Bhagavan. And because he knew people are different, interested in different things. Some people interested in this world and what is this world. Some people interested in what is Brahman, what is Paramatma. But of course, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, he says that Bhagavan, that realization of me in the form of Bhagavan, that is the topmost. So one who wants to understand the essence and what is the goal, then one has to come as to the point of a devotee, and then you will understand. So this is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. So anyone got any questions, any comments? Yes.
How should we approach Krishna consciousness?
How? By just chanting Hare Krishna, then you can do very nicely. And you have to chant Hare Krishna in a humble mood. Then you'll do very nicely in your chanting. Any other question? Yes, please.
Who is the other Krishna?
He who is?
Who does Krishna like?
Krishna likes everyone. Who does Krishna like?
Yeah.
Where Krishna liked everyone, because we are all these parts and passes, we all come from Krishna. So how can he not like us? But he's just reacting to how you want. We want to forget about Krishna, then Krishna just lets you forget. We want to remember Krishna, then Krishna helps you remember. So he is not partial, he's just responding to what your attitude is. But every one of us, whether it's a human being or dog or cat or tree or fish, or within those bodies there is the soul. So that soul is part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna likes everything, everyone, and wants everyone to be happy.
I want to answer his question.
You want to answer his question?
Yes.
Yes.
Just a simple sense of what Krishna said once. Like, the village where he grew up, everyone used to worship Indra. So, Krishna said that, why do you worship Indra? So, they said that if you don't worship Indra, Indra will be angry and we will not have rain and anything, so we will suffer. So, he said, so you worship because you are afraid of him. We should worship cows and hills and mountains that give us life and give and everything. So from here we can infer Krishna loves the heart, like the mountains, the cows and all animals, which serves and which gives us life, from which we get resources. So that was Krishna's proposal, that you worship the cow and all animals, and from the mountains which gives us shelter. And don't worship anyone out of fear. Just worship from the inner feeling that you have. That's what that helps you understand.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Yes.